Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everyone, and welcome to Monday's edition of The Cave Show. So good to be here with all of you today. We have a ridiculous amount of stuff to get into today. Let's start. Goodell, Roger Goodell, Commissioner of the NFL. Four preseason games are too much. Don't fall for the okie doke. I will explain that to you. Why he's hopeful of it. The Raptors. They had him. And they let him off the hook. What this means for the Raptors and the Warriors. And I'm going to double down on what I said before. We will talk about that as well. We're in hopes to bring in the great Earl Burnett from KSRN. Talk with us as well. About 10 minutes after the hour. So we will do that also. Like I said, thank you for joining me here Monday on the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Wow. That's all I can say is wow. So much stuff to get into. So much to talk about. We are brought to you by the one, the only, Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Alma School and Chandler Heights. Get in there, let them know that PLR sent you. They will take 10% off of your cigar purchase. They now serve beer and wine, and you can watch baseball, NBA Finals, everything on one of the many televisions they have. Become a club member, get a lock of their backs directly up to the humidor. Never worry about your sticks going bad. Like I said, that is Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Get in there, let them know PLR sent you. They will take 10% off of your cigar purchase. There's a couple of restrictions, but they will fill you in once you get there. Again, located on Alma School in Chandler Heights, locally in Chandler. That's 4991 South Alma School. So, we know where the finals are. We're going to start with a little football, though. Like I said, Roger Goodell is talking about the four games. What a joke, man. Anyway, you know the topics. You know what's going on. Like I said, that's definitely a hot one we're going to get into. Call in number 917-889-7828. 889-7828. I'm glad to be back with you. Had those best of shows running. I was actually covering the Suns. Pre-draft workout, so it is good to be back live and ready to roll. Like I said, call in number on the Kerry Lackey Ball Line, 917-889-7828. Do have a caller on hold. Thank you for your patience. You are in the cave with PLR. Who do I have the privilege of speaking to?
Good afternoon, Paul. This is Lou once again.
Lou, what up, buddy? How are you?
Well, I think you forgot to mention one thing, because the Diamondbacks, I did a number on the Mets this weekend.
They did. You know when it all started, too, Lou? It started Saturday night because the Diamondbacks were getting it handed to them. They were down 5-1, came back, scored four runs, forced extra innings, and then ended up winning in extra innings, and then came back yesterday and took care of business. And I'm kind of glad you brought that up, just like I forgot to in the promo talk about the Ruiz-Joshua fight. But the Diamondbacks are a team – that is a heartbreaking, exciting 500 team. And they're a team that's going to end up around 500. They started out great. Then they went 11-17 in May. And people were like, oh, no, what happened? Basically, they're a 500 team. So on a 500 team in baseball, over 160 games, you're going to have some days where you look really good. You're going to have some days where you look really bad. And it just depends on who they're playing and what they're doing and if they're hot. I mean, they beat the Mets. two out of three. The Mets are basically a 500 team. So we'll see how the season goes, but they're not going to contend for the division title. The Dodgers are just far too good. Their only hope is to stay around that 500 mark, maybe a couple games over, and hope teams like Atlanta or Milwaukee or St. Louis or the Pittsburgh or hope Pittsburgh or hope Colorado or San Diego stay there so they keep their wild card hopes alive. But they're not winning that division. It's not happening. You know, teams like the Cubs, hopefully they, you know, kind of stay where they are. But it's just not. I mean, when you look at Arizona, the one good thing that you can say about them is they usually have pretty decent run differential, unlike San Diego, unlike Pittsburgh, unlike the Mets. But all those other teams I named, they have great run differential. So we'll see where it goes. Thank you for bringing that up, though.
Yeah, I just thought, since it was, you know, your area against, well, my area, so I thought, how can I pass that up?
Yeah, no, I hear you.
You know. All right, so you're saying that Toronto, you know, they don't have the hook, so it means they're who they thought they were.
They had them. They had them in game two. They had them dead to rights. Listen, I picked Golden State in six, and I've stuck to six. I'm not moving off six. I'm not budging off six until they lose three games to prove that they can't. I'm wrong. So, but this is why I believe they are the best team in basketball with the best coach in basketball, because they're down already going into the game, Kevin Durant. Then during the game, they lose Clay. They lose Looney. Steph isn't feeling well. And they basically beat them with – listen to this. They basically beat them with Boogie Cousins, who is back for the second time. He's only his second game played in 2 months off of a quad injury. Quinn Cook, a 37-year-old Andre Iguodala, a 34-year-old Sean Livingston, and Steph Curry and Draymond Green. That's what they rolled out there in the third and fourth quarter against Kawhi Leonard, Siakam, Kyle Lowry, and all those other guys. Golden State rolled those guys out, and Quinn Cook and that perfectly coached team found a way to hit three threes. Boogie Cousins played good. Oh, he can't play defense, but he clogged up that middle. And I didn't hear Mark Gasol's name last night at all.
Uh-huh.
So all these things that we talk about that you know, these players can't do, what role players can do, what they can't do. Funny how all those adjustments were made. Every adjustment from game one that needed to be made, every adjustment was made. Steve Kerr is the best coach in basketball.
That's true. But I think with Iguodala's presence, that might have made a difference as well.
Well, but listen, this is the same Iguodala that people were saying was washed. Do you remember last year when Houston went up? And they were like, oh, if we had Chris Paul, we would have won. When people came back and said, well, Golden State was told I get out. Not the same. Yeah, to the team structure, it is the same. It's a big difference. Hey, Lou, I have a big favor to ask you. Is there any way you can hit me back in a little bit? I have a guest calling in a little bit early, and I want to jump to his call.
If I'm not having dinner, yes.
Okay, hey, I appreciate it very much.
If the dinner bell doesn't ring, I'll call back. If not, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, buddy. Have a good one now.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you. On the Kerry Lackey Law line right now, a main man, the one of KSRN's very own, and has the audacity to tell me that the Toronto Raptors is going to beat the best coach and the best team in seven games. My main man, Earl Burnett. What's up, brother?
Oh, man, how you going to put me on a spot like that, man? How you doing, man? I'm good. I'm just staying optimistic because I like to see the champion go down like everybody else does.
But then you should have been rooting for Ruiz because he knocked the hell out of Joshua this weekend.
I saw that, man. I was like, well, hey, maybe that's in the air, man. Toronto might be taking a little page out of that little number right there. That was something else.
Man, that man, like, he just left Old Country Buffet and came right to the fight.
Exactly. Exactly. What was the other guy, Anthony, doing? Was he, what, overlooking this guy or something, or just didn't practice, didn't do nothing to prepare for the fight or something?
I have no idea. I mean, he showed a lot of respect after the fight, and I understand that, and that's all good. But you know what? Listen, you just can't lose that fight. And I don't care how hard Ruiz hits. You have to – if you're as good in your as you are in your mind, you got to stay away from those punches. Because the one thing we know, when punches start to hurt after you got knocked down the first time, he told you he can hurt you. So
exactly.
You didn't listen
exactly.
to him telling him, you know, that he could hurt you. So, whatever. You know what? He ran from that fight. He ran from the Fury fight. He ran from the Bronze Bomber fight. And when guys run from fights, I can care less when they get knocked out.
Exactly. Exactly. No. And I'm much not on boxing myself because it's all kind of everybody's dodging each other. So, yeah, I get that. So I'm not even all that up on it anyway. But it's almost almost the same thing with this NBA Finals. The Toronto Raptors are that guy, you know, going up on a high ledge and not looking down. They're like game one in the first half of game two, they were like on high, just rolling down this ledge. After halftime in that game two, they looked down. They're like, oh, we ain't supposed to be here. What the hell? And they went on an 18-0 run on them. That was the game right there, man.
It you know what though, this is why I think this is the best team in basketball. And in all honesty, they never get rattled. And I said this after game one, and I believe you and I texted back and forth, but they were up by a lot in game one, and out of nowhere it was a 4-point lead. And Kawhi was playing just okay, but Marc Gasol was balling, Siakam was balling. Kyle Lowry was balling. Everything was perfect. And I know the margin was 9, but at one point when it was close, Golden State was a missed shot away from making it a 1-point game. It was a 4-point lead. And to Golden State, forget Toronto. Golden State went back and said, what adjustments do we need to make? Because with everyone playing great for them and with us, no one really playing great, they only had us down by 4. That's the difference between the mentality between the two teams. Because Golden State knew Siakam wasn't going to do that again. They knew Marc Gasol wasn't going to do that again to them.
Exactly,
they basically said, we are going to cover the others.
Exactly.
Why, if you get off a little bit, that's fine. We're going to stop these others. We're not going to let them get comfortable. And it's exactly what they did.
Yeah, and on the flip side of that, Paul, Toronto doesn't have any room for error. They don't have any room to have a lull like they did in that first half coming back in the third quarter. They don't have room for that. They can't allow Golden State to get up on them more than 10, 12 points. They're not the type of team that can rally like Golden State can rally. So they were playing the perfect game, the first game, and a little bit, you know, like you said, they maintained that little bit of a lead. They were able to keep punching back. They have to play like that in order to stay in the game. If they allow Golden State to get a run, to one of those big, giant runs like they did in that third quarter, Toronto cannot play with them at all. They have to make this thing ugly and muck it up a little bit to keep themselves somewhat, you know, in the series. And they gave it up on that third quarter. They had the game, too, was in their hands. If they had kept it close like they've been doing the whole half, and they did in game one. They kept that close. You saw that game in game two got tight. Everybody got tight in game two down the stretch.
Yeah.
They were missing shots. They were missing shots like crazy. I mean, Toronto had 5 or 6 straight possessions where they could have had the lead. So it's like it could go either way. But like you said, Golden State's prepared for either way. Toronto hasn't been there before, so they're kind of learning it on the go. And we saw that when they came out in half. They were like, we're not supposed to be here. We're not supposed to be up on this team like this. Is this really happening? And they looked like they didn't believe they were supposed to be winning the damn thing. And they just let it – just got a brain fart or something and just, you know, couldn't score. So and like you said, there's no way Siakam and those guys were going to play the same way they played in game one. So, yeah, man, it's just a margin for error is really, really, really small for this Toronto team.
On the Kerry Lackey Law Line, the one, the only, Earl Burnett, KSRN Radio. Okay, so here's my basketball facts I'm going to hit you with. You tell me if you believe in them or not. To win a championship, you got to have a superstar. Your second best player has to be either a superstar or, like, right there, you know, just, like, an inch below it. And I go back to Cleveland when they won it with LeBron, and then you had Kyrie, and you had Kevin Love, and obviously I don't have to go through Golden State, or the Lakers with Shaq and Kobe, or San Antonio with Duncan and Kawhi and Tony and all and Manu and the Bulls. So you get what I'm saying.
Right.
I don't believe Toronto's second best player is good enough to get them over the hump. I believe their first best player, and I believe their first best player is injured, to be honest with you, because he's not dunking at all. There's no explosion.
That's true.
And so now you got to rely on your second best player. If your second best player is Pascal Siakam or Kyle Lowry, who committed too many dumb fouls, because he should not have made that foul. He's got to stay on the court.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe their second best is good enough. And I hear a lot of people say, well, if Milwaukee would have got there, no. Their first best player can't shoot, and their second best player is Chris Middleton. I think you would have ran into the same thing. Philadelphia, when you're really all and being honest, that's the team that's built the best to have a second best player going down the line, since we know Kyrie's going to leave Boston.
Right.
If there's ever a team to come up, I believe it's Philly, not any of those other teams.
Yeah, that's true, man. But with the exception of the Chicago Bulls back in 91 beating the Lakers, a new team just now making their way to the finals, you don't rarely see that new team take out that veteran team just on its first try coming into the finals. So, like you said, you got to have two good veteran guys that have been there, and the moment's not too big for them. And Lowry and Siakam are going to need a few more years to get there. Kawhi's already there, and he needs that help, like you were saying. So that matches up. So you're going to have to take it, even Philly. Philly would have got there too, and probably still they have to learn how to win. They have to learn how to win that series. So I'm looking at this Golden State team. It's like, you're not going to just knock a champion out that easy. It's not that easy. And like you said last night on the text, you're like, you got to go with the big knockout. And their knockout punch is game two. They should have won that game because they would have stayed ahead of them, a game ahead. That was their opportunity to win this series. But you can't just take the champion down. I said game seven, but I was saying the Warriors are going to win in seven. I want to see it go seven just because I want to see that champion work their ass off. I want to see them work their ass off to earn it, man, because, I mean, and you got it, like you said on the text and last week, dude, you got to give props to Steve Kerr, man. I mean, he got guys dropping left and right, and they're not missing a beat. It's, like, amazing, dude. I'm like, this is incredible.
Think about it. Not only did they have the chance, they played the entire fourth quarter without Clay, without Looney. Obviously, Durant is out. Iggy is 37, and he was pick away from not even coming up. Livingston, how many times do we teach young kids, when a pass is thrown, go get it? Don't wait for the ball to come to you. Go get it.
Yeah, he went after it. Saved that game.
If he doesn't go get that pass, Earl, that's a dunk, fast break, layup, dunk, whatever, required going the other way. So they do everything fundamentally correct. And you just
don't
see
everything they do everything fundamentally correct at the right time.
Exactly.
You know, they don't ever miss it when it's crunch time. When it's crunch time, they are on point, and you better not. If you make a simple mistake, they're going to make you pay for it. It's incredible how they do it, man. I don't know how they do it. And they do it with a bunch of guys doing it by committee. When the stars are down, them other guys come in and pick up the slack. It's amazing.
Yep. And by the way, something you said about the Bulls being a first-timer, the NBA was different then, too, because even though the Bulls hadn't gotten to that title, they had that team was tested in battling the Pistons for 4 years before they got to the finals. Which is a lot different. You know, they battled for 4 years. And the Lakers, in fairness to them, the Lakers should have beat Portland that year. That was that was their experience beating Portland. So that I don't think Vlade and the boys scared anybody. I don't think that old Magic scared anybody anymore. It's that, after the Bulls got beat up for 4 years and the Lakers were playing that finesse offense, defense, they're like, shoot.
The Lakers were on a decline for sure, being too old and have some people. I think somebody got hurt in that series too early, if I'm not corrected. But still, that's the only one. That's the only one I can remember of somebody being that close, the first timer kind of coming in, just dominating. You know, the veteran, but because the Jordan didn't play. Jordan, could end up the same way. This could end up the same. We might think Golden State might just run off the last two or three and end this thing. You never know. But
they just might. This is a team that just is put together perfectly and is put together basketball wise. And this is a team that was knocked for having a weak bench, and I just don't see the weak bench. Maybe I need to get a new prescription. But this bench don't look weak to me. Let me ask you this. What do you think on the Kerry Lackey long line, the one, the only Earl Burnett, KSRN, what do the Raptors have to do to win game three? Because I think if they lose game three, it's a wrap.
Exactly. Yeah. That's it. They have to win game three, and they have to have their defense travel. Their defense, the same defensive intensity they played with in game one and a half of game two, they have to bring that same intensity and let that travel on the road, because that's going to help them a little. That's half the battle. They get that defense to travel. Then they have to concentrate a little bit more on Curry, because Curry, when he came out in the first game, I mean the second game and a half, he kind of was kind of missing a lot of shots, and they got comfortable thinking he was having an off day. You can't relax on him. He can have an off day for a minute, 2 minutes, the next thing you know, he's blowing you away. So they have to be more careful. They have to be more careful on Curry, and then it's going to be really important to know what's going on with the injury report on the Golden State side of things. Because if Clay's not there, that's the advantage Toronto. Because all they got to do is really, really make Curry work harder than he's been home working. And you just got to bring another two or three guys to keep a scoring going. And you should be able to be in that game in the fourth quarter to have a chance to win it. Because like you said, third game, you don't win this game. You give Golden State the lead in the series, it's over. It's over.
Yeah, yeah, and then that means they can rest around probably yet another game.
Exactly. You have to stay ahead of them in the lead of the games in the series. If you can stay ahead of them, you got a very good chance of winning. Game three is the pivotal game. There's no other. I mean, you have to win that game. It's a must game. It's a must win. You can't lose it, especially with the opportunities when you're going to be having a lot of guys still out. So you've got to take advantage of it. A la Houston.
Don't talk about that. You know what? Houston, please don't talk about Fool's Gold to me right now. Please don't. Because you know that's Fool's Gold. And you know Mike D'Antoni, they have basically fired Mike D'Antoni without firing Mike D'Antoni. It's like an office
pretty space. Much.
They've put his desk in the basement. They've told him, we fired your assistants. We're not going to renew your contract unless you want to take all these stipulations. We're thinking about trading everybody on his team except for James Harden. They basically, you know what? You know what they just did to D'Antoni? And nobody wants to just come out and say it. It's when your girl lives with you and you know you move and you know the relationship's done. It's over. And she come home and the couch gone. You're like, oh, I let my mommy borrow the couch. And then all of a sudden the dishes are gone. Yeah, my cousin was short on dishes. And now your big screen out the house. Yeah, my TV broke and I just leave, woman. You just don't have the heart to say it. So that's fool's gold. That's fool's gold. But
we know it.
Boogie is playing his butt off. Here's a guy that 2 months ago tore his quad, and they gave him just a glimmer of hope to get back. And for all those Boogie haters out there, and he's been one of my favorite players for a long time, I've said, you know what? I would take this guy. I don't care. I'd rather have a guy that's too fired up and have to calm down
right.
than a guy I have
exactly.
to get fired up. And
for
this
sure.
guy worked his butt off and blocked shots, pulled up the middle. And did Marc Gasol play yesterday?
I was just about to say that, man. I was so surprised to see Gasol not be there, first of all. And then, Cousins, I guess they weren't expecting him to be that effective because he wasn't as effective in game one. And so they must have thought, well, he's still coming back from his injury. He can't really be that much of a factor. And they didn't pay much attention to him. And then he came in there and surprised them. And you would think Gasol, being as experienced as he is, would know that and show up and be able to contend with that. And Ibaka, where is he at?
Well, his body, see, it's a lot different when you're pushing around Draymond, who you're a little bit. You can't push
exactly,
around.
Exactly.
Boogie. And Serge Ibaka,
Boogie
I understand
you,
it's
get, yeah, Boogie gets you out there on that three-point line. Boogie will get you out on that three-point line and shake you and take you to the rim. They don't. That's a skill set a big man, unbelievably having. It's hard to stop. So he got surprised big time. So,
as they would say down south, his foot, he got some good foot. He can move.
Exactly.
He can move around. And Serge Ibaka, you know what? Fool's gold, man. Serge
overrated.
Is fool's gold.
Yeah.
Overrated. Serge is nice when he's like kind of in the role Toronto has him. Coming off the bench, if he gives you something, great. If he doesn't get in there, give him some minutes. Let him get everyone rested and go back out. Serge's contract is a cancer to that team because he doesn't give you anything consistent that you can count on.
Exactly. He's a streaky guy at best. He's a streaky guy. He only shows up when the rest of the team is doing good. If the team is struggling, he's going to disappear. But if everybody starts to be a little good, he'll start. He's a front runner. Exactly. He'll start to do a little something for you and, you know, trying to make it because of everybody. He's comfortable when everybody else is comfortable.
Yep.
And that's a guy that hasn't been there. You know, he's been there before. You would think he'd have a little bit more experience in this type of situation, having been there before, but nope. They all follow Kawhi, man. They wait for him to have the lead and do whatever he does, you know, what he does. And he's not shooting the ball all that particularly well, Kawhi, but he's still managing those big, good games and getting to the free throw line, and he's doing everything he can do to, you know, with the exception of that last half, they didn't put the ball in his hands enough. I didn't think they put the ball in his hands enough down the stretch in that game. Everybody was coming down just flinging up threes, and that dude was sitting out there on, you know, getting the ball from the wing and back and forth. I'm like, why didn't they just let him bring it up and let him orchestrate the offense?
Let me ask you a question because, one, I think he's a little hurt. But I think the difference, too, is, Earl, is that Fred VanVleet is not a driver. He's a shooter. Danny
true.
Green, he's not a driver. He's a shooter.
Shooter. That's true.
And so you're passing the ball to shooters. Their skill set isn't getting in, creating contact, getting to the foul line. That is only for Kawhi. And if Kawhi doesn't have that explosion, as soon as he gets anywhere near the middle, they're basically doing to him what Toronto did to Milwaukee and building that wall around him. And they're making him work real hard just to even get to the free throw line. And so he's doing what he's supposed to. He's kicking it back. Golden State's rotating enough. And those threes, they're getting tighter. They're contesting them quicker. And that's a finals game three, not a conference game three. And I'll tell you something else about why. Kawhi shot 55% in the first round, 54% in the second round, 40% in the finals. And I mean, the Eastern Conference, and now he's shooting under 40%. They're wearing him down.
Tired. Yeah.
Yep. And now surrounded by guys that don't drive and don't create contact, that's the problem. That's not just, and that's when you sent that text last night and said they're just chunking up threes. I think that's because that's their skill set, not because they want to. That's their skill set.
Okay, that makes sense. Also, too. It's going to be important also for the Raptors' role players' game to try and travel, just like Golden State's role players traveled. That was amazing, too, that those role players are that comfortable shooting shots in that Golden State offense, and they don't miss a beat. I don't see the Raptors being able to have those guys
stand within that crowd, you know, and the crowd going crazy? Can you stand up and make that shot like that? So that's going to be key to the game right there. So
that, in effect, the difference is they're not playing with Steph. There was a shot that Steph missed, and I don't know if you remember this, but he was driving. He was at the three-point line. He took two or three dribbles in. He passed it off to Dre, who hit him back in the corner, and he ended up missing the three. But Van Fleet was guarding him, and when Steph gave the ball up, he did what everybody does. And I don't care who it is that plays basketball. When your man gives the ball up, you look real quick to see where the ball is.
Yeah,
when
ball
you
asleep.
Look that quick on Steph, pew, he gone.
He's
and
gone.
Now you got to try to recover and run at him. And
yeah,
so
yeah,
because he does that, he pulls up another defender, and Golden State is the most unselfish basketball team. 22 assists on 22 makes in the second half.
Yeah.
That ball is swinging and moving and finding that next guy, and they trust everybody. So everybody doesn't feel like, damn, if I miss the shot, I'm out. Mm-mm. You missed
exactly,
the shot.
Exactly.
Hit it the next time. Big difference.
Yep. I agree with that. And that's coaching, man. That's coaching.
And now,
that's
now
coaching.
Before I let you go, because I know I got you limited time, but so before I let you go, we had a good conversation. We talked about the finals. We talked about the coaching. We talked about the role players. We talked about all this stuff. Now tell me one more time how you see Steph.
I see seven with the caveat that we don't know who's playing in game three. If Clay does play, that's going to be the key. If Clay doesn't play, or even if an injured Clay plays and he's not 100%, it's still not the same. So that will be the key. If they can take game three, they can stay ahead of the series. They have to be one game ahead of the series all the time to have a chance. They give Golden State the lead, it's over. And that's why I think it could go seven. So we'll see.
Okay.
I listen
to your whole argument. I let you explain everything.
I know.
And
if
I'm an attorney, I don't even have to give a defense. I just stand up and they say, do you have a defense? I'll say, no, just use everything the prosecutor said. We rest.
Well, you can't rest on that too much, bro, because you just never know who else could get hurt. Curry might twist an ankle.
It don't matter. They ran out Quinn Cook. And Quinn Cook on the road.
My goodness.
They rolled out Cook. They rolled out McKinney. Jordan Bell ain't even playing.
They rolled out a whole Bogut and still.
2 months
ago. Bogut was getting lob dunks on him, man.
Yes, one hand. Bogut was doing shrimps on a Barbie 2 months ago, down under chilling. And now he's about to win another. This is my point. It doesn't matter. JaVale, every time someone says something to me about Steve Kerr and the Warriors and how is JaVale McGee looked like an all-star.
Right.
That's it. Forget Clay, forget Steph, forget KD, forget all. JaVale McGee looked like an all-star. I don't need to say nothing else.
Well, remember what I said, man. I'm telling you right here, it's going seven, but I didn't say that the Warriors were going to lose it in seven. I'm saying they're going seven. They're able to win that game on the road for sure. I want to see it go seven just for the simple fact it's a good series. So,
I always like extra games because I love basketball, but you know what?
Right.
I want Drake to shut the hell up. Because here's my rule about
– man, you and me both, man.
Man, you cannot say you are an ambassador for a team and root for a team when you got another grown man's name with the opposite
on your jersey.
Tattooed on your body. So you lost all your credibility then. You can't have KD tattooed on your body and then talk trash. You can't
front runner too. He's just whoever's winning, whoever's hype at the time, that's where he is. But I mean, the NBA has to do something about keeping that dude under wraps, man. He can't be getting into no dang confrontation with players or after the game and talking crap and all. I mean, I get that. That's part of the game during the game, like the old time Spike Lee and Reggie Miller type thing. But that was like a mutual respect type thing. And Spike stayed in his seat. Spike didn't run around on the court. Spike didn't try to get everybody involved and whatever. It was just him and Reggie having a good time because it was competition. This dude is doing something totally different. He just got the spotlight. He wants the spotlight on him all the time. And he wants to he can't play basketball, and he wish he could be out there. Now he want to act like this is his avenue to get on the court and be part of the NBA.
Why do you want to wake up Draymond? Why do you want to wake him up?
Exactly.
I don't get that.
Exactly.
Why do you want to wake him up?
That's what's going to happen. You know that's what's going to happen. Clay said at the end of the game, Clay was like, you better be lucky I popped my hand.
I was just about to, but no. The part was he called him by his government name. He said Aubrey. Clay called him Aubrey. He said, yeah. He said, Aubrey, we'll see you in the Bay, Aubrey, with your bum ass.
Oh, that's good. One thing about that, that's good. And so the thing about competition like that and you getting clowned like that, you can get clowned to the level where it can get out of hand. And that can get out of hand.
Yeah.
It can turn into a brawl, dude. It can turn into a brawl because I know how that goes. You getting clowned and got everybody laughing. Your next step is going to be to throw a punch. So
yeah,
I hope it don't come to that.
Look, I don't think people understand, you know, and we're not, I mean, we, you know, I, out here in the mean streets of South Chandler, When someone calls you by your government name, I'm from the west side of Chicago, and if everybody in the neighborhood know you as Swish, and then somebody on the court says, "Hey Winston, you gonna play today?" That's better. That's worse than calling you another name, because they're gonna call you out by your government name.
Exactly.
You know, Swish.
Exactly.
They call you Swish. You're playing like your government name, Winston. Oh, that's
yeah. Those are fighting words, man.
Yeah. So you basically told Aubrey.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to swallow that pride, man, when you're getting clowned like that. So man, the NBA has to do something, man. They got to do something to keep that guy under wraps. I mean, I know they're not going to kick him out the stadium because, you know, he's been a part of what Toronto's been a part of and all this whole thing.
Right.
But he's got to be a little bit more professional, man. I'm a passionate fan myself. You know, I get crazy and jump around and get in people's camera shots like ABC at the ASU game about a couple of months ago when the season was up. I was jumping up and got into dude camera action and everything. He was ticked off at me. But you got to be able to be professional, man, and keep it under wraps.
Yeah, hey, listen. I love the way TV is showing that, you know, Clay said, call them bum ass. Culturally, they're missing the whole first part. As soon as he said Aubrey, everything after that didn't matter. That's
exactly,
the whole point.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Culturally, TV ain't caught up to that yet, but they will. But culturally,
yep,
I don't understand.
They will.
Call that man by his government name. Woo!
It's a good shot. It's a good shot, man. That's all I can tell you. If you come up with a good shot like that, you got to be able to back it up, and they ready to back it up. So I don't know.
Tell everyone about KSRN, bro, before I let you go.
Oh, absolutely, man. KSRN, Casual Sports Radio Network, is growing leaps and bounds, man. We got a lot of things going on with the Bird Gang. We're going to be having a lot of events going on. We're preparing for Vegas Summer League. I know you'll be there. That's your little favorite spot. And got a lot of good programming starting up and some new programming starting up. If you know anybody with a podcast, you know anybody that's got some music they want to get heard and all those things, give us a call, www.ksrnaz.com. That's the spot, man. It's going down every day.
Hey, bro. Hey, I thank you for allowing this show to be on there.
Oh, man. Yeah, man. You don't even know. I don't even let you know what the stats are doing, but your show does pretty good, man. Does pretty good.
I appreciate
it. You're on the... I appreciate you dropping that promo, too. That kind of helped a lot, too. Everybody like, oh, I didn't know he was over here, too. So I was like, okay. So, yeah, we got the PLR on there, man. It gets good ratings, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, no worries. Well, you know, I don't want to say much, but I've been appearing on the AZ Central a couple times, you know, so I have to put this pretty face to the pipes every now and then, you know.
Yeah, I saw that, too. Yeah, I got to get Greg in the KSRN station, man. That dude got some... He has some pretty good points he be making. I got to kind of catch up with him.
Yes, sir.
So,
hey, man, I appreciate it.
If you hit him up, let him know you're looking for him.
I will. You know what? He's actually on here tomorrow, so I'll talk to him for sure.
Oh yeah, Tell him I got his number, but I'm kind of like, you know, shooting text. I know he's busy as hell, so
to tell him to just shoot me a text, man.
Yeah, I will. I definitely will tomorrow. Hey, listen, just to give you, I'm about to tell everyone now anyway. We're locked and loaded tomorrow. We got Ashley Neville, we got Greg Moore,
oh, wow.
and we got Cameron Cox back to back.
Wow, man, you're pushing it out, huh?
Yo, man, we don't fight. Look, I'm not bringing Shad Gregory Moss on, better known as Bow Wow.
Exactly. You're crazy, man. Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate you.
All right, bro. Hey,
all
I appreciate
right, bro.
You coming on last minute like this.
Ain't no problem, man. Till next time.
All right. We will. And I'm on at 3
right.
o'clock, right? On KSR.
Absolutely. Every day
o'clock.
At 3 o'clock, bro.
There you go. There you go. Thank you, sir.
All right. We'll take care. And remember, 7 games.
Okay.
All right, bro. Peace.
All right, bro. I'll talk to you. Oh, man. That's my man there. The one, the only Earl Burnett, KSRN. That is a super network. You guys have to definitely check it out. You can go to KSRN.com. Obviously, you can check it out via the app. Everything. Check it out for sure. That's going to do a wrap for us today. We will be back tomorrow. Like I said, we are so locked and loaded tomorrow. We have Ashley Neville. We have Greg Moore. And then we have Cameron Cox all on back to back to back. So we are going to hit you with everything we have and then some tomorrow. And I haven't told you what's coming up on Wednesday yet. Make sure you are following us on social media, the Twitter, Instagram, fan page at the Sports Cave. Cave is with a K. SportsCave.com website, Cave is with a K. And you can get me directly at PLR on Sports on the Twitter. Thank you to Earl Burnett. Thank you for the callers calling in. Definitely appreciate it so much. All calls me at the Gary Lackey Law Line. Until tomorrow, until Tuesday, this has been the official of PLR. This is PLR. Everyone, have a great rest of your Monday.